Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text from the Gospel of St. Mark, the first four verses, I will reread. The beginning of the Gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. As it is written in Isaiah the prophet, "Behold, I send my messenger before your face, who will prepare your way. The voice of one crying in the wilderness, 'Prepare the way of the Lord, make his paths straight.'" John appeared, baptizing in the wilderness and proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. This is our text. What has your attention these days? What has your attention? Is it a screen of some kind? Smartphone, TV, computer? How about social media? You do know the whole point of social media is that someone else gets to sell your attention. They are paid for your eyeballs being glued and for every click of your fingers. What has your attention these days? Is it the winding down football season or the winding up basketball season or the latest $700 million baseball contract? Maybe it's Fox News, CNN, talk radio, some other news feed. How about your checking account, your retirement portfolio, the stock market? Is it your calendar of upcoming appointments and doctor visits, or those of a loved one? Of course, those things would occupy our minds. What has your attention these days? Is it something job-related, something home-related, a relationship? Friend, child, parent, spouse, or maybe it's Christmas, which is a good thing to have in mind, but of course comes with Christmas travel and Christmas shopping and Christmas decorating and Christmas baking and Christmas and holiday plans. Or maybe what has your attention is your craving for food, for sugar, for alcohol, or some other addictive substance or harmful habit. You know how those are. They're so pesky, they can be very demanding. What is it? Because you give your attention to something all the time, every moment, or to someone. We all do. And if you're like me, and I suspect you are, you know what it's like. So often we are distracted or preoccupied, overwhelmed and worried, consumed. Focused, perhaps, on how many different things at once? Or on all the wrong things? We seem to just keep driving down those same terrible ruts, keep going in the same circles, keep spiraling, sometimes into dark places. Why? We can't even keep our attention focused. And isn't that just like God's people? I mean, how many prophets did God have to send to his Old Testament people? He just keeps sending them again and again and again. As if they couldn't keep their attention on him. And so he sent the prophets to get their attention and then to get their attention again. The Lord kept saying, "Look at me. Listen to me. I will be your God. You will be my people." And you know how it went. For a little while, they were. And then they weren't. Something else would grab their attention. Something shiny or distracting would pull them away. And think about the length that God had to go to get their attention, to call them back, Some of the things the prophets did, I mean, they would make you sit up and look. Ezekiel and Isaiah and Jeremiah going around half naked, laying on their side for months on end, eating strange foods. It's what it took to tear their eyes and their ears and their hearts and their minds away from worldliness, away from excessive concern and everything else. What does it take to get your attention? Does it take someone jumping up and down and waving their arms, yelling and screaming, sulking and acting out? And if that's what it takes for our friends and our family to get our attention, then what about God? What does God have to do to get your attention this Advent? And are you going to make him compete for your time and attention with all those other things? Get in line, God. Take a number. 257 is the next one available. You know, our attention, or lack of attention, and distraction and consumption, it would lead us to hell. As if our Lord Jesus Christ is just one more thing among so many others. But he's not. And St. Mark makes that very, very clear, because he starts like this. No easy introduction, just bam, the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. This is what it's about. If there's anything important for us to know, to think about, to be focused on, it is this: the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And by gospel here, although often we mean simply his saving work, here Mark means all of his work, all of God's teaching, the whole of Christian doctrine. And this is what God does to grab our attention right off the bat. He makes a voice roar in the wilderness. Someone crying out. He sends a man. John appeared. And if you want someone who could get attention, John would be it. Like those Old Testament prophets. He's out in the wilderness, which is not the normal place someone would be. He's out there baptizing, which is a strange thing, proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. Here is a man to get your attention, to get our attention. And he does. That leather belt around his waist, clothed in camel's hair, eating locusts and wild honey, out there in the wilderness. If that doesn't cause us to stop, to start, to pay attention, then what will? I mean, he practically leaps off the page to grab us. And that's John's job. Someone who is so different. Someone who is so strange, so wild, so unexpected, to stir us out of our complacency, out of our consumption, out of our attention that is so distracted. Consider that he comes to the wilderness. I mean, what would happen if you went to the wilderness today? Your devices wouldn't work. The world itself would seem so far away. Those looming bank account numbers and doctor's appointments would begin to matter a little bit less. The sports and the news would pale in comparison to this man and what he is saying and what he is doing. It's not that those things are totally bad in and of themselves. It is that we put those things in a place where they don't belong. We give them an attention that they don't deserve. And of course, they can't serve us in the way that we need. I mean, what news report ever helped you live out your life, day-to-day life, in a better way? How often did spending another 10 minutes looking at your portfolio and your accounts really benefit your life? John isn't consumed with those things. He isn't overwhelmed with concern. And he's certainly not stuck on fashion or diet. No, his job is simple. To prepare. To prepare the Lord's way. To get us ready for his coming. To make his paths straight. Clearing out the distractions. Hyper-focusing our attention. But not on himself. That's the interesting thing. It's not that John is jumping up and down and waving his arms so that we'll look at him. John is roaring in the wilderness and then pointing with his finger so that we will look at someone else. John doesn't preach himself. He preaches the one who comes after him. He prepares for the one who follows him. After me, he says, comes he who is mightier than I, the strap of whose sandals I am not worthy to stoop down and untie. Here is the greatest, as Jesus says at one point, the greatest of those born of women. And yet he says, someone is coming after me, and I'm not even worthy to be his servant. I baptized you with water, but he'll baptize you with the Holy Spirit. John would have us know who we are and what we are before God. And that can be a frightening thing. When he came preaching repentance, John made no bones about sin. He didn't rationalize things. He didn't justify things. He didn't say it's not that big a deal. I mean, John called the Pharisees and scribes, who were like the best of the best, a brood of vipers. Isaiah says that the one who comes will remind us that we are all like grass, which withers and fades away. And even these things that have our attention, they are passing away as well. They will not last. They will not be here. And so John would fix our eyes on one who is more lasting, more permanent, indeed one who is eternal and changeless, on Christ, Jesus Christ, the Son of God. But today we are not getting ready simply for Jesus Christ, the Son of God, to come in the flesh preaching and ministering as he did long ago. We are being made ready for him to come again in glory. For our Lord has come, and he did the work that he came to do. He laid down his life for us sinners. You know, it was the one thing that had our Lord's attention. It's the reason why our Lord himself went into the water of baptism with sinners and then came out with a cross on his back. He was focused on our salvation, focused on paying for our sins, focused on gaining the salvation for us that we cannot gain by our own works. And he has poured out the Holy Spirit upon us. You have been baptized, dear brothers and sisters in Christ, not only with water, but you have been baptized with water and the Holy Spirit, because you were baptized by Jesus Christ and his word. So we have received the Holy Spirit, who also is preparing us, making known our sins and making known our Savior. And our Lord Jesus Christ, he is not coming to us through an earthly ministry as he did long ago in Nazareth and Galilee and Judea and Jerusalem, but he is even now sitting at the right hand of God. Sitting at the right hand of God to rule and reign over his creation forever, and he is coming again in glory. This is what we are getting ready for. Not simply for Christmas, though that is a great joy as we celebrate the incarnation, but we are getting ready for the one who was born in Bethlehem to return in glory and power and might, bringing his salvation with him. That's what Advent is about. Preparing us through the preaching, through the word of Jesus, through John the Baptist and his wilderness proclamation, preparing us for Christ's second coming, his return. St. Peter tells us about that time. He said, like a thief it will be, and then the heavens will pass away with a roar, and the heavenly bodies will be burned up and dissolved, and the earth and the works that are done on it will be exposed. All things are being brought to an end, sooner or later, including our sports teams, the world news, our bank accounts and stock portfolios and job concerns and relationship issues. These things are being brought to an end. And then our Lord is bringing a new beginning. What did St. Peter say? What are we waiting for? We are waiting for a new heavens and a new earth. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, there's nothing better for us to have our attention focused on in this season, this year, at this time, than on our Lord Jesus Christ, who came, who comes, and who is coming again to usher in that new heavens and that new earth. And as we have our eyes, our hearts, our minds, our ears focused on this, we will, as St. Peter said, live lives of holiness and godliness as we wait for and hasten the day of the Lord. So give your attention to him. Give your attention to him, not because your heart is so pure and your life is so clean, but because he is so holy and he is so good and he is so righteous and he is so loving. Because he wants to give you again the gifts that he always has. Forgiveness, life, salvation, his peace, his comfort, his presence, his promises. And this is why he is here today, here in his word, here in his supper, here with you. John the Baptist says, look at him. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.